Friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, not to brag, but as a pastor, I think I've gotten to meet some of the most incredible saints of the Lord ever. I think back at the number of funerals and gravesides that I've done, just the most amazing people I've ever met. People with hearts filled with faith, people who have been great mothers and fathers, people that have touched lives in ways that sometimes I never even knew until it was time to prepare their service, and I got to learn the depths of their lives and was just overwhelmed by who they were and what they were able to accomplish. And before coming to this church, one of the things that caught me was that every single graveside I did, except one before coming here, was at Riverside National Cemetery. That these saints that I was honoring, these saints whose services that I was doing, were men and women that had either served our country or had been the spouse of someone who had served. And I've now spent hours upon hours walking through that cemetery, reading gravestones, seeing who people were that were buried there, and giving thanks for each one of those headstones, knowing that that's someone who served their country so that I could be who I am and standing where I am. We're blessed by incredible saints. And not just the saints that we've met, but the saints that have gone before the saints we knew, and the saints that went before them, and the saints that went before them. Because it's this ripple effect that happens. Each person and the life they live and the way they touch lives, then those lives are able to touch lives, and those lives are able to touch lives. And you never fully get to know the impact that there was. And this morning I wanted to get back to one of the original saints, one of the first that had one of the greatest impacts on who we are, and that's the great Saint Moses. Never heard him called Saint Moses, have you? But I dare you to argue on whether or not he's a saint, because I believe the way he lived his life, the faith he had in the Lord, and the way that he is obedient to him, there's no other possibility except him being a saint. So here's Moses, who starts out with a challenge in life. His life being threatened when he's born, and his mother having faith in God that God will take care of her baby, wraps him up, puts him in a basket, and sends him down the river, believing it will save his life and be what's best for him. And being best, he ends up in the greatest of houses, living the life of luxury, until one day he's challenged to remember just who he is. That he's not an Egyptian prince by birth, but that he is an Israelite by birth. And he sees how they're being mistreated. He sees how they're being abused in their slavery. And he stands up to one of the guards, putting his life and his well-being at risk. And this man of courage, this man of strength, this man who honored where he came from in that instance, is the man that God chooses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt and into their freedom. So God calls him, but Moses says, "No, thank you, God." Why does Moses say, "No, thank you, God"? Moses says, "God, I have a stutter, and I can't even get out one clear sentence, and you want me to stand up to the most powerful man in Egypt? God, you are crazy." But God says, "I'm not crazy. I know what you have in you, and I know what's around you. I send you with your brother Aaron, who is a great speaker, and together you will do this job." And together they did. Together they stood up to Pharaoh. Together they helped bring 10 plagues upon him until he said, "Get your people out of my land." And across the Red Sea they went and into their freedom. But the job wasn't done yet, was it? Now you've got this group of people with no organization, no leadership, no governance, no rules for how it is that they're supposed to live together except God, right? So here, for the rest of his life, Moses is dependent on God to guide his every action, to be the best leader he could for the Israelite people. Up and down the mountain he would go. Up and down the mountain he would go to get stone tablets, to get God's commands, to get God's advice, to find out what God needed. And so up and down he went. And he was not always the most popular with the things that he said, because being a leader isn't always the easiest of jobs or the most popular. But Moses went through it. Moses did the best job he possibly could. And the way he did the best job he possibly could is that he was fully dependent and fully obedient to God. And so here we get to the end, the very last chapter of Deuteronomy. And here God brings Moses up the mountain and he shows him Israel, all of the lands named after all of the tribes. And he says, this is the land that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When I said you will have land and generations of children that cannot even be counted, this is the land I was talking about. This is what your people are going to inherit, and it is time for me to fulfill this promise. But I also promised out of punishment that you would never see that land. So Moses, it's time to say goodbye. And here Moses passes in a foreign land, the land of Moab, never setting foot in the promised land. We've had incredible leaders like that. We are the church that we are because of incredible leaders that have come through it, clergy and laity alike, the saints that have literally built this house, that have provided for it, that have guided it, that have cast visions for it and worked hard to see those visions come to fruition. We honor those saints on this day. We honor those saints as we remember them and as we give thanks for them and as we remind God that we are blessed because of them. But then, like Moses, as we see them, we ask the question of what now, right? Because that's what the Israelites were asking. What now that Moses is gone? All we've ever known for 40 years in the desert is Moses as our leader. And God answers that question. God gives them their appropriate 30 days to mourn. What does that say that God gave them their 30 days to mourn? Is God knows mourning is a process. It's not something overnight that yesterday I was hurting and today I'm just fine and moving on. But God knows that our hearts and our lives need time to grieve. They need time to ache. They need time to reconcile what has happened. They need time to rest. They need time. And so here God gives time. And my first question of the morning, when you've suffered loss, have you given yourself time? Have you allowed yourself the time to grieve? Have you allowed yourself time to hurt? Have you allowed yourself time to properly care for yourself as you've lost something so valuable to you? That time is critical. That time is allowed. That time is part of what God blesses us with. But then there's a time to keep living, isn't there? when we've suffered a loss, it doesn't end our life. But then we have that question of what now? And for the Israelites, when that 30 days was done, it was time for a new leader. And Moses had laid his hands on young Joshua and said, "You will pick up the mantle and you will continue what I've started." And Deidre read the last chapter of Deuteronomy. And after the last chapter of Deuteronomy is the first chapter of Joshua, when the story continues as we turn the page and it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, 'Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, has died. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.'" What happened? But God said, "Now you are blessed to continue the work that Moses started." What did they do when they continued grieving? They continued to live into the dream that Moses had of them reaching the promised land. Why are we who we are? Because of all of the generations that have gone before us. Each generation picking up the dreams and the visions of the last generation and continuing them on. And what will we do? We will cast vision and dream dreams, and we will strive for them, and we can do all that we can in dedication and obedience to God to see those, and then we will pass them on. And the mantle will be picked up, and the next will take it, each putting their own fingerprints upon it, each having their own unique impact upon it. Because that's how we've gotten where we are. And the future is as bright as these candles because of the work we're doing and because of the work that will continue after us. And why? Because there's one constant through it all, and that is God. God says, "I've got a plan." God says, "I've got a vision." God says, "I've got a dream." But most important, God says, "And I need you to help me fulfill it." And he says, "You won't be alone." He says, "You won't be alone because I will be with you." But also, as St. Paul says, "And I give you a great cloud of witnesses of the saints that have gone before you that you can draw strength from, that you can look to for guidance and advice." They're with us always. These saints that we have, they are with us and continually influencing us. So the question remains, with the impact that the saints have had upon us and the vision and the dreams that God has for us, what are we gonna do with it? Amen.